basically a list of grievances, where they tried to appeal to Luther's sense of the gospel. These are people, I think, who very much admired Luther and wanted Luther on their side. They insisted, for instance, that what they were doing is they're basically concerned with hearing the word of God and living according to it. One of the first things they say in their preface. We're basically concerned with hearing the word of God and living according to it. The gospel, they say, does not cause rebellion. They want to defend the gospel from the notion that it causes insurrection, rebellion, and tumult, because the gospel is a message about Christ, the promised Messiah, whose words and life teach nothing but love, peace, patience, and unity. And all who believe in this Christ become loving, peaceful, patient, and agreeable. So says an armed peasant band. They're seeking peace. They would really like to have this situation resolved without warfare. But they're presenting their case in these 12 articles. And they say what they're doing is to excuse in a Christian way, they say, the obedience and even the rebellion of the peasants. Luther thinks this is rather inconsistent. The gospel makes you peaceable, yes, says Luther. It doesn't make you take up arms and go around the countryside threatening people. And so the peasants are trying to justify what they're doing using the gospel of peace. One of their most interesting articles, in fact, the very first one, is not about the fighting between lord and peasant. It's about their ministers. They want to appoint their own ministers. They would like each village to be able to elect their own minister and pay for the minister out of the tithes of the community. This is actually close to what Luther himself recommended in many cases. Now, Luther's reply is not what the peasants had hoped. Luther writes a treatise, a little book called An Admonition to Peace, in which he addresses those 12 articles of the peasants. And he blames both lord and peasant, right? There's enough blame to go around both ways. But above all, he says, rebellion is never legitimate. So let's look at this double-sided message. On the one hand, Luther puts the blame for the peasant rebellion squarely on the shoulder of the lords, not the peasants. The reason why there's this rebellion going on is precisely because of the injustice of the lords. Luther writes, "We have no one on earth to thank for this disastrous rebellion except you princes and lords, and especially you blind bishops and mad priests and monks. You are the cause of this wrath of God. The poor common people cannot bear it any longer." Right? So the oppression, the injustice of the powerful is the cause of this rebellion. No question about that. Yet, he also attacks the fundamental theological claims of the 12 articles. He kicks the Christian theological rationale out from under their set of grievances. He hits them where it hurts, because they really want the gospel to be on their side. And Luther says, no, it's not. The gospel's not on your side, because even though your claims are just, even though your grievances are just, right, you are being oppressed, it's true. Nonetheless, all your claims to be Christian are clearly false, Luther says, because the gospel is a gospel of peace, and it gives you inward freedom from all law. Remember how that works in the freedom of a Christian? Inwardly you are free from all law and coercion, you are lord of all, but outwardly a Christian is a servant of all. Outwardly a Christian serves in love and serves in suffering. Outwardly, a Christian does not resist evil, but suffers, just like Jesus Christ, suffered unjustly from oppression. So Luther writes, "Christians do not fight for themselves with sword and musket, but with the cross and with suffering, just as Christ, our leader, does not bear a sword, but hangs on a cross. Suffering, suffering, cross, cross, this and nothing else is the Christian law," he says. If you're not willing to let yourself be treated unjustly, then you're not willing to be a Christian. There's nothing Christian about this claim that you have a right to rebel in order to fight injustice. Hence, he says, a Christian lets anyone who wants to rob, steal, cheat, devour, and rage, for the Christian is a martyr on earth. Anyone who wants to rob can do so, steal and cheat and devour your substance, because that's how Christians are. They don't fight back. So, this is what the cash value of the freedom of a Christian is in the political world. It means never rebel. Rebellion is never legitimate.